I'm Jack, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding some victory over alcohol. Hello. Once again, if you came in late, welcome. Glad you're here. It's tough to come through the door if it's your first time. Please don't make it your last time. Hopefully this will start a recovery routine with you tonight. Last week, we took some time to look back. Bill Colton came in and shared kind of the genesis of Celebrate Recovery here at Rolling Hills about 19 years ago. Maggie shared kind of what we did last year. And so this week we're going forward a bit here. And I, coming into ministry lead here, I want to mix things up just a little bit. It's my nature. I've been attending this CR for a number of years, and I'd like to just do some things a little bit differently. Now, for those of you that are routine freaks and regiment freaks, don't worry. We're still doing the testimonies, the teachings, the large group, the small group, the dinners, all that stuff you come to expect at CR. But I really want to kind of take a cue from Matthew. I think it's Matthew 5:13. Right after the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth, being salty. And how we should, as Christians, we should be seasoning the world around us. And so that's what I'd like to do as we mix things up a little bit. And one of the things we're going to do is, starting tonight, we're going to move into a teaching on the Serenity Prayer. And it's going to be a teaching series that will go throughout the year. In other words, not in a row. I'll intersperse some teaching. Somewhere between 300 sessions. I'm not sure exactly how many just yet, because I think the Serenity Prayer is very rich with things that we can take from it for recovery and for life. But we're going to start tonight in doing that. And, you know, I am passionate about Celebrate Recovery. To me, it is the perfect blend of recovery and faith. And some of you know my story and know that I got sober just a little bit before I got I got sober just a little bit after I got Christ. So I became a believer, but was still doing my drinking thing, but wasn't very long after that. And so as I walk my walk, if I'm relapsing, and I don't mean using alcohol, but if I'm relapsing in my recovery, chances are I'm relapsing in my faith as well. So I just find that they're inseparable. And as part of that passion, I don't believe that everybody needs CR. I do believe that everybody would benefit from Celebrate Recovery, but I'm not one of those folks that says everybody needs it and get in here now. Also, if you attend CR, I don't believe you need to be here for life. I believe that we will have different paths. And those of us that have been around for a while, we know that in the Yes lesson that we teach later on in our teaching series, we talk about it. You're going to go serve in your church. You're going to serve in your ministry here. You're going to serve in both, whatever it is. But I do believe in this ministry. And one of my goals for the year, visions for the year, is to get more folks involved in Celebrate Recovery. So that kind of takes me to one of the themes that I want to throw out there for you guys this year. And it comes from, I got it from Rick Warren, who kind of has Saddleback Church down south where CR was initially established years ago. And Rick has a quote that I want to kind of plug into our theme this year, one of the themes. He says, changed lives always attract others who want to be changed. And that's my hope, my prayer for this group of people, is that we lead changed lives. I know many of you do. But that we exhibit, we show off those changed lives so that we attract others who want to be changed. Jesus obviously is our model here for many things, and of course he fits that bill quite well. Now, he didn't really lead a changed life, other than the fact that I think that living here on earth was a little bit different than heaven, as I understand it, so that was probably a bit of a shock to the old system. But Jesus just was Jesus. But those that saw him acting and behaving and living in a way that was a change for their society. And of course, people wanted to change their lives and followed him. So while we're not Jesus, we can do a lot as individuals out there to exhibit changed lives. So how are we going to do that? What does that look like? I guess we could tell people, hello, I'm changed. We could get t-shirts printed up, I'm changed. That's not a bad idea. Maybe we should do that. But I think it's more important that we show them our changed life. We exhibit a changed life. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ways as it pertains to Celebrate Recovery is we can know and we can live the eight principles that we just read. And I will confess to you, I do not have those memorized. So I'm thinking, if I don't even know them, what's the chance that I'm going to live them every day? Certainly not as great as if I know them. So as I've set for a personal goal for myself for over the next 30 days to memorize those. Now, once I do that, am I good? No. Of course, I have to put those into practice. But I've got to know them first. So we can know and live the eight principles. We can know and live the 12 steps as well. And we can know and live the Serenity Prayer. And that's where I want to go tonight. Now, I do have the Serenity Prayer memorized. And I do reference it almost daily, either internally or externally with those that I'm around. So, as I mentioned, the series will last anywhere from 3 to probably 6 sessions throughout the year, and I will intersperse them into around a teaching or a testimony night just to kind of carry on, because I do believe there's a lot of information. And hopefully you'll see that as we kind of take apart the Serenity Prayer this evening. Actually, we're only going to be looking at the first 4 lines of the Serenity Prayer tonight. And for those of you that may not have it handy or memorized, it is in the bulletin tonight on the back page there if you want to take a look, and I'll have information up on the screen. Where did I put my clicker here? So let me just give you the idea is that as we live the Serenity Prayer, that it's going to allow us to reflect a changed life, so that we can attract others that want to be changed. So, brief history on the prayer. There are some folks that will claim that it was been around for a long, long time, somewhere around 500 A.D. Somebody said I read one thing that it might have been around even as that long. But I think most of us, most folks that look at this, will agree that Reinhold Niebuhr was kind of the author of the Serenity Prayer, and he authored it back in the late 30s. He was an American theologian, and he probably wrote it to kind of include in one of his sermons. And so that is who we credit in all of our materials, and who AA, I think, credits and all that. Now, I found interesting, the first version, once again, of the first 4 lines tonight, let me just read it to you. This is what he wrote. He wrote, "God, give us grace to accept the serenity, with serenity, the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things that should be changed. And the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other." And so, a little bit more wordy than what we currently use. That was boiled down to what we know as our current prayer. And we do know that around 1939, an early AA member brought it to Bill Wilson, and he liked it so much that he incorporated it and made it part of AA's kind of their core prayer. Once again, the first 4 lines. And I my first recovery experiences were in AA. So you can imagine my shock and dismay when I found out there was more to it when I came to CR. It just kept going and going and going. I thought I had it memorized and was done, and then you people went way over the top. But we're going to go ahead and just, as I say, stick to the first 4. Just for some fun facts for you here on the Serenity Prayer, the back of Neil Young's Reactor album, he has the Serenity Prayer there written out in Latin. 70s rock group Boston sings a song called Higher Power, and they have the Serenity Prayer is in some of the lyrics there. Whitney Houston actually has it on the back of her debut album cover. That's kind of ironic. 50 Cent, hope I said that right for you youth out there, actually raps the first 2 lines of it in his songs, Gotta Make It to Heaven. Punk rock, it's even made it into punk rock. The band Blood and Blood used it in their title, beginning track and a final track of one of theirs. So the Serenity Prayer is inside. In fact, I was down what is the pizza place down here in Tualatin, where you make your own pizza. It's on the wall there, just the first 3 lines of it. So it's out there, but it's also in here with us. And my hope is that as we go more in depth with it tonight, when we recite it at the end of every Celebrate Recovery meeting, that it takes on a little bit different meaning for you. So let me see if I can get my clicker micker to work here. Actually, why don't you go ahead and advance to the next slide, because I don't think I'm clicking here. Perfect. So there it is, as we have it in our current version. And we're just going to kind of pick it apart line by line. So what's my next slide, just for the heck of it? See what I've got up there. Perfect. So God, grant me the serenity. So first off, it is a prayer. We are petitioning God. And sometimes I think we can gloss over that fact. We just start with the God. But think about who we are praying to. We are praying to the Creator God, the God who, among other names, calls himself I Am, the God that has always been and always will be. That is the God we are petitioning. And when we pray this prayer, that should have some gravity on us. We're not asking our kids to do something, or we're not asking our boss for a raise. We're petitioning the God of the universe to grant us serenity. Now, the old self, my old self, might have been vodka, grant me the serenity. Some of you might have been relationship, grant me the serenity. Sex, grant me the serenity. All right. And so it's also important to note when we are praying and petitioning to God how that shift in our lives from what maybe we found serenity in our old lives versus what we find serenity in now. So what is serenity? The next slide has a definition that I found in the dictionary. Pretty simple. State of being calm, peaceful, or untroubled. And I want to kind of hone in on the peace part of it. A couple of scriptures. Next slide has a scripture from John 16:33. It says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So we're asking for peace, we're asking for serenity, a peace, in other words. And remember, we have overcome this world as well. Paul's pretty clear in Romans 6 when he talks about we were baptized into Christ's crucifixion, his death, which I love that juxtaposition of words. Now, we have troubles in this world. We live in this world. We are still here. But we have, if we are a believer, we have been saved. We have overcome this world eventually. We have overcome this from a kingdom perspective, from an eternal perspective. And so when you're praying for that serenity, remember what that's the God-given serenity. That's the God-given peace. Next scripture, the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. So that's only the connection that we have with an identity in Christ being in us. Connection allows us to live the rest of the prayer. And so as we say just that first line, God, grant me the serenity, just hopefully think about that gravity. Then we look at, okay, once we look at the world with that serenity, we're able to more easily accomplish the rest of the prayer, and the two kind of feed on each other. So the next line of the prayer goes on to say, accept the things I cannot change. And I do like that original version, accept the things I should, I'm sorry, courage, that would be the next one, sorry. Accept the things I cannot change. So what is the opposite of accept? Reject or deny. Denial. Denial is the first lesson that we start with in our teaching series. Daniel's going to be teaching on that in a couple of weeks. Accepting the reality of what is, not what we want, what we hope for, what we thought we were. Accept the things I cannot change. You see, I wasn't supposed to be an alcoholic. That wasn't the way it was supposed to work out. And for many years, that's about as much as I accepted my alcoholism. I'm not supposed to be an alcoholic. I'm not supposed to be in a recovery group. I'm not supposed to sit around in a room talking to people about my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That's denial. And as you can imagine, I never had any recovery in that denial. And so accepting the things we cannot change is crucial. In other words, we need to work with what we've got rather than pretend we're something we're not. Okay, that's kind of what I want to highlight there. Next line in the first part of the Serenity Prayer, the courage to change the things I can. And that's what I liked in the original version, the courage of things to change the things I should. I think that puts a little more ownership, at least for me it does. But we use the courage to change the things I can. So that word courage is a bit dicey sometimes. What does it mean to have courage? A lot of people would say, well, it means I'm fearless, I am brave. And I don't think that's what it's talking about here. You see, the courage that we're talking about here is courage is not the absence of fear. It is facing your fear. So you can be fearful and still be courageous. And in fact, sometimes being courageously fearful is smart and protective. So when we talk about the courage to change the things I can, that means facing our fears and doing it with, once again, serenity, with peace. Some of the things or some of the way that this courage may take form in your life would be honesty. I was a serial liar as an alcoholic. I still struggle with the temptation to fudge the truth a bit. And that's one of the hurts that I still work on, or habits or hang-ups. I'm not sure. I guess it's more of a hang-up. But honesty, even when the truth is uncomfortable, that's courage. Fortitude, doing the right thing even when it's hard to do. Doing the right thing when nobody's around to acknowledge it, or not doing the wrong thing when no one's around to catch you. So fortitude. Perseverance, faith, being willing to change. These are all ways that we can exhibit courage. And so when we ask for the courage to change the things I can, that's what we're talking about. Not the absence of fear, meaning merely, are you facing your fears? Or have you not maybe got to that step yet and you're still not accepting the things you cannot change and still in denial? So you can see that works together. Finally, as we get to the last line of the first part, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think that's our perfect. Wisdom here simply means learning from our mistakes. The wisdom to know the difference. So learning from your mistakes. Knowing who and what you can control and who and what you can't. Taking knowledge of ourselves, others, and the world around us and applying it wisely. One of the pastors here taught on wisdom a month or so ago, and he said, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Okay? So when we use wisdom, we take the knowledge of ourselves and the world around us and our tendencies and our triggers and all that, and we apply wisdom. We apply wisdom. We use that knowledge wisely. We don't put the tomato in the fruit salad. We don't go to the places we shouldn't go, hang out with the people we shouldn't hang out with, say the things we shouldn't say, you know, that those type of things. Wisdom is not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, something we call insanity, of course. And wisdom is taking what we learn from the eight principles and the 12 steps and applying it to our daily lives. There is a lot of wisdom, both in the principles and the steps, and of course the Beatitudes and the scriptures that go with each of our steps. In fact, if you look at the first four lines of the Serenity Prayer, you would find the first five lessons in our teaching, in our step study. When we accept the things we cannot change, we are moving out of denial. That's lesson one. When we have the courage to accept the things we cannot change, we are acknowledging our powerless, lesson two, and we find hope when we accept the things we cannot change. That's a freeing, for those of you that really do that on a consistent basis, that is freeing to accept the things you cannot change. And then that leads us into hope, lesson three, in facing instead of running from our fears. When we exercise the wisdom, to know the difference. We gain the sanity, lesson four, to stop repeating negative behaviors and become open to the change required to turn, lesson five, our lives over to the will and care of Christ. So is that a coincidence? I think not. So the Serenity Prayer in those first four lines, very rich. And one of the things, if you ever want to do kind of a fun, is just kind of take a look at those lines and kind of look for scripture. I just gave you a couple with the peace part tonight. But there's a ton of scripture. In fact, peace, I think, is used more than love in the Bible, in the King James Version, at least, where you can get a word count. So tonight, as we pray the Serenity Prayer a little bit later on tonight, my hope is that you would look at it as not just something we do at the end of a CR large group meeting, but something that we do to begin to show the world what a changed life looks like. That would be my prayer. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this prayer, for that it is obviously divinely inspired. Thank you for this group of men and women who have, to a large degree, accepted the things that they cannot change and are working every day to continue down that path of recovery. Thank you for being with us as we do that. Lord, I pray that you take all of us in this room and you continue the transformative work that you're doing. I pray that you send us out into our respective communities and workplaces and churches, and that we live a changed life. Whether people can identify it or not, we want people to say there's just something about them that I like. I want what they have. Lord, we need to turn to you. We need to turn to your word. We need to use the principles, the steps, and pray this prayer and understand this prayer and be deeply connected to this prayer. I pray that you bring others into our lives who want what we have, and we show them Celebrate Recovery. Amen.